Okay, what does a disciple maker do?
Evangelism,
exactly. That's what a disciple maker does. He does evangelism, of course. What else does he do?
Teach them to obey.
Yeah, that says there, teach them to obey all that I've taught you, right? In other words, he teaches them to walk with Christ. Elsewhere in the scripture, like in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says that we're to be building one another up in the Lord. Building one another, that's part of being a disciple maker, isn't it? So evangelizing and building one another up. And then, of course, this other part, this restoring ministry, which is what we're doing now. We're talking about restoring. That is, a person has become, their fruitfulness has been damaged by either by sin or by circumstances, some kind of suffering or stressful situation that they're under, and their fruitfulness has been impaired, and you're to come alongside them and help them. And that's what we're talking about when we use the word counsel. You know that counsel carries baggage. I've talked about that in the sermons, if you listen to it. The counsel carries baggage, you know. Dr. Gantz mentioned it too, of, you know, laying down on a couch and talking to some man with a goatee, right? And then paying him a lot of money. And that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the restoring ministry of the church, the third aspect of making disciples. And that's where we're going to be spending our time. Who should counsel? Well, from the DVD we just watched, we learned who should not counsel, right? Who should not counsel? Unbelievers. Why? Why? Why should unbelievers not counsel? Look at Colossians 2:8. It says, see to it, okay? See to it. That's a kind of an emphasis there. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. I think the DVD, you know, pretty passionately put that across. Secular counseling is godless. Secular counseling is godless. You should never refer someone into that kind of a system. Instead, you should be coming alongside them and helping them walk with Christ, helping them to learn to live in their circumstances, whatever those are, in a way that glorifies Him. In other words, that they are to live according to Christ, as it says at the end of that verse. So who should counsel? Galatians 6:1, turn back a couple of pages in your Bible. Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, even if a man is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted. Now this tells us who should be doing this restoring ministry. Who should be doing the restoring ministry according to this verse? Okay, the brethren, right? It says, brethren, brothers or sisters, right? The brethren, the brothers and sisters should be doing this restoring ministry. Now, what else does it tell you about these people?
Spiritual.
That they're spiritual. The brother who is spiritual. Now, who is that? If you go back in the context, always when you're understanding a passage of Scripture, always keep it within the context. The context is verses 13 to 25. So let's go back, I mean, of chapter 5. Let's go back to chapter 5, verses 13 to 25. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care lest you be consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. And then he goes into this passage about restoring the one who is caught in a trespass. Now, remember, this is the brother, restoring the brother who is caught in the trespass. And so, this, who is this one who is spiritual? Just look back at that text and tell me. Who
is, Any believer?
Well, not completely. It's a believer, yes, but it's a believer who is walking by the Spirit, right? A believer who is walking by the Spirit. Now, the reality is that's true. It is any believer. And the reason that I say that is that this week I may need to help you. And next month, you may need to help me. There was a time we had, seven elders and I think it was 11 deacons at one time some years ago, a few years ago. And that would be 18 church leaders. Out of those 18 church leaders, at that time, I took note of the fact that I had personally counseled all but two of them. Okay. Now, does that mean that, what does that mean to you? That your church leaders need counsel? Does that disturb you? No, it shouldn't. Because counsel should be part of the normal body life of the church. It should be the norm. Right? It should be the norm for all of us. We should all be building up one another and restoring one another. Okay, the other thing it says here is that they're to do it with a spirit of gentleness. Now, that's a given. You remember that the passage we just read said that if this person, this spiritual person, is a person walking by the Spirit. And verse 22 of chapter 5 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. Gentleness is a manifestation of the Spirit, right? So certainly you should be admonishing with gentleness because that's a natural expression of being a spiritual person, right? Of walking by the Spirit. If you're walking by the Spirit, you're walking in gentleness. Okay. And also this person is personally watchful. Like I said, this is an indication as all through there. This whole passage is talking about helping one another when they're caught in sin and so forth. One of the things you should be aware of when you are helping someone, you know, I got you all crowded up in here because I want you to get it's kind of a visual aid to help you remember the fact that you're developing a very close relationship with someone when you're helping them with something, some issue. So I've got you crammed in here tight for that reason. The kind of the other side of that coin is that that close relationship can lead to sin. For instance, I have an absolute rule. I never meet with a woman by myself. Never. I have never done it. Okay? Meet with a woman by myself. Does that mean that I'm kind of a pervert? No, it means that I'm realistic. Okay? I'm realistic. 1 Corinthians 10:13, which is you're going to be asked to, and if you tomorrow I'm going to ask you to memorize 1 Corinthians 10:13, says it talks about God's faithfulness. But the verse before says, beware, if you think you stand, lest you fall. Right? So you have to be watchful. That's another characteristic of this person who's helping. And the last one, Colossians 3:16, turn back a few pages there. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart. This word admonishing in there, you know, if you listen to the two sermons that I had you listen to, that was emphasized there, the word admonishing, nuthetheo, is the word that's also translated counsel. So you could substitute that word in there and say teaching and counseling one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. But the key there is that the word of Christ richly dwells within you. As Dr. Gantz, or no, as Jay Adams told Dr. Gantz, he said, if you want to be able to say, thus saith the Lord, you have to know what the Lord says. Right? The word of the Lord needs to richly dwell within you. Okay. And the other one, of course, is 1 Thessalonians 5:11 to 14. And we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with all men. Who is to counsel? Once again, the brethren. Just like in Galatians 6:1. You notice this one actually starts, I urge you, brethren. Right? I urge you, brethren. And it's such an encouragement to see so many people here. This represents over half the adult population of our church right here. I mean, it's remarkable. This is twice as big a crowd as I've ever had before for this course. Unfortunately, because the room is so big, we have to do this kind of thing. I planned to have it in the room up there, a little more intimate, better visual aids, projection, and so forth. But it's a thrill to have so many people here. Because you are the ones, that should be restoring one another, building one another up, helping the weak, encouraging the faint-hearted, being patient, admonishing or counseling the unruly. All right. Now, I'm not going to have a break. Oh, well, wait a minute. There's one little bit more. On what and whom do we rely? Now, you notice in that Galatians 6 passage, that Galatians 6:1, there was that list of things in Colossians 3:16, that the word of Christ richly dwells within you. And then those things that you're supposed to be the spiritual person, the one who's manifesting gentleness, the one who is careful about their own walk, not to fall into sin themselves. And you say, wow, I'll never be able to help anyone, you know. Well, the reality is that you can, not because of you, but because of what you actually do rely on. Who and what do we rely on? Look at 2 Timothy 3:15 to 17. I'd like someone else to read that to me. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17. I mean 15 to 17. Okay, Francis.
Childhood, you've been acquainted with the sacred writings that are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work.
Okay. So how are we equipped for every good work? That includes the restoring ministry, right? Does every good work include the restoring ministry? And how are we equipped for that, Francis?
Through the Word of
God, right. So what do we rely on? We rely on the Scriptures. And actually, that's key. If you begin to instead rely on your own wisdom, you're liable to lead someone astray. But as long as you're communicating God's word and nothing else, only God's word and not your own ideas, then you're going to be a blessing to that person. Okay? No matter the situation. In the DVD with Dr. Gantz, you know, he had only been, I think he said 8 months, he'd been a Christian when he had that incident with the man. And yeah, I thought it was interesting that he said he wasn't competent to counsel, and yet he was counseling, wasn't he? Not only was he counseling, he was seeing people transformed, dramatically transformed. And why was that? Because he was communicating God's word and nothing more. Right? And that's what you're called to do. Communicate God's word and nothing more. Philippians 2. Oh, let's go back. Philippians 2, 12 to 13 and 1:16. Philippians 2, 12 and 13 says, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." This is a fascinating sentence. It's one sentence. And you notice in the sentence, the first half of the sentence, he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's a command to do something, to be diligent, to work hard, right? At growing in Christ. And then the second half of the sentence says, but it's God who is at work in you, both to will, that is to give you the desire to do it, and to do, that is to actually accomplish it, according to His good pleasure. Fascinating sentence. He does desire us to be obedient. He does desire us to work hard. And He also promises to be the one who brings about the fruit, both the desire and the doing of it. And Philippians 1:6 says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." Now, if that's true, okay, that God will perfect what He began, and this is talking about salvation and sanctification, that is being transformed into the image of Christ. If that's true, if it's true for you, well, who is it true for? Who's it true for? Huh? All believers? Okay. If it's true for you, isn't it true also of the person you're helping? Well, it's true of the person you're helping if they're saved. Right? Now, so we have a catch here, right? And the catch is, the biblical counseling is for believers. Biblical counseling is for believers. The scriptures and the transforming power of God is for believers. God doesn't promise to transform unbelievers. God doesn't promise to transform the unsaved. He promises to transform His children. Right? So biblical counseling is for believers.